Okay, thank you everyone for being here for Council Meeting number 54, Tuesday 26 May 2020. We're kicking off at 5:30 p.m. I declare the meeting, is open. I welcome councillors, management, members of the public who are attending tonight's meeting virtually. Welcome to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we gather, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Today we are proud to say that Melbourne is a significant gathering place for all people of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander backgrounds. As part of our efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19 and pursuant to the provisions of Section 394 and 395 of the Local Government Act 2020, Council and committee meetings will be held virtually until further notice, or they can be held virtually until further notice during the period 1 May 2020 to 1 November 2020. Councils do not need to provide for members of the public to physically attend meetings. Providing public access via live streamed events satisfies the public attendance test during that prescribed period. This meeting is being streamed live and the audio and video recording will be published on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Could everyone please check their mobile phones and make sure they're turned to silent for the duration of the meeting? The agenda tonight comprises one report from committee, 11 reports from management, three of which are confidential. Now, whilst we are streaming and we do have those provisions in place to make sure that we can protect staff, councillors and members of the public by having virtual meetings, we have a full house of councillors this evening, I believe. 11. So well done. We also have some of our council business team here, some executives, and I note that for Alison Layton, it is your first meeting in chambers. Is that right? You've been here for a number of weeks, but because of COVID, we haven't actually met in here. And part of this, we've never done it to this technological extent either before, but welcome. Welcome, everyone. To councillors, if you have either a direct or an indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Councillors, I'm calling on a councillor to move a motion adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 52 held on Tuesday 28 April 2020. Councillor Frances Gilley has us out of the blocks from the back elevated row. Thank you. And I'm looking for a councillor to second. Councillor Riley, thank you very much. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. And I am calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting open minutes of special council meeting number 53 held on Tuesday 19 May 2020. Councillor Wood, Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. And a seconder from Councillor Watts, thank you. And I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I can see everyone and it's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from those minutes that councillors would like to address at this point? None. Thank you. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code in relation to Agenda Item 6.2, Market Square Charter and Place Name, item of correspondence from Jenny Pike. In relation to Agenda Item 6.8, Ministerial Amendment C370 Treasury Square, items of correspondence from Valerie Stroll, Susan Oliver and Greg Bizzanella, Heritage and Planning Convener for the East Melbourne Group. Now, we have three items of confidential business this evening. As we said, does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of those confidential items? No, good, we can keep going. There is one report from committee for consideration in the open session, and I'm calling on Councillor Rees, as Chair of the Planning Portfolio, in the Future Melbourne Committee, to actually present agenda item 5.1, and then we'll go from there. Thanks.
And I'll do that now,
Are we,
Lord Mayor.
Expecting...
The purpose of this report is to recommend that Council, having considered the planning panel's report, adopts Planning Scheme Amendment 33C323, Arts Precinct, and I move the recommendation contained in the Council report. I'm calling for a councillor.
Sorry, I wasn't sure what was happening, but I need to declare a conflict of interest due to conflicting duties with the University of Melbourne being my employer and being connected. This doesn't particularly... Sorry, I'm just trying to find that in the original amendment we had the submission from the University of Melbourne, but this isn't...
We don't on this one. Precinct-wide.
If it assists the Chamber, one of the property owners impacted by the
University of Melbourne
is the University of Melbourne.
Right.
That's what my understanding was, that University of Melbourne is one of the property owners within the Planning Scheme Amendment, and I have declared a conflict of interest every time we've...
I'm going to call on the deputy chair of the planning portfolio to move this motion, and Councillor Rees is also declaring a conflict. So to you, Councillor Lippitt, to move the motion.
I move the motion.
As Deputy Chair. And I'm calling on someone to second the motion. We'll keep it moving. Councillor Liu, thank you. Would you like to speak to the motion?
With your indulgence, Lord Mayor, can I just approach the Chair for a minute? I appreciate we're on the live streaming. I just want to ask a question.
Come on up. Do you want to turn your microphone off? All right, a lot of preparation done for this item this evening. I am also declaring a conflict of interest and I'm leaving the chamber by virtue of having received a campaign donation, so section 78C, and thank you to Councillor Lippitt. Is there anybody else that wants to just check that item? No? Good.
So moved by Councillor Lippitt, seconded by Councillor Liu. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. For those interested in this debate, I refer them to the Future Melbourne Committee that recommended to us that we adopt this amendment in its final form. It's an excellent amendment, and I want to sincerely thank our strategic planning team who's progressed the amendment through all stages. It was done in conjunction with Creative Victoria and the Minister for Planning and the Minister for Creative Industries, but the City of Melbourne was the planning authority. And after a multi-stage panel process, which was a little longer than we would have liked, we've arrived at a very, very strong point, and that's testament to the excellent work of our team. And so I commend the motion before us.
Thanks, Councillor Lippitt. Councillor Liu.
I also want to echo the Chair's, Councillor Leppard's also comments. This is a great report, and I think it's referred to the FMC. A lot of debate's been done. I want to thank the team, but again, the art precinct is very important to Melbourne, and it's the reason why we go through all this process, because we want to ensure that South Bank is still the art precinct that we all love.
Thanks, Councillor Leppard. Any other speakers to this item? If not, Councillor Leppard, I'm assuming you don't want to close. No, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Councillor Pinder? I declare that carried unanimously and I ask that the Lord Mayor come back into the chamber, please.
To have a bit of activity at the start of our meeting. All right. Thank you to everyone for moving forward. Okay, that concludes reports from committee. Everyone take a deep breath to be considered in open session. And we are moving on to item six, reports from management. There are eight. And the first one is records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No, I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. I'll move the motion. Anyone to second? Councillor Rees, thank you. I'm going to, or did you want to speak to a councillor Rees? I'm not proposing to. So we put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Unanimous, so declare that motion carried. Thank you. This brings us to agenda item 6.2, Market Square Charter and Place Name. Councillor Watts?
I would like to move a procedural motion to refer this matter of the Market Square Charter and Place Name to the meeting of the Future Melbourne Committee to be held on the 2nd of June 2020.
That's appearing on the screen. Somebody to second this motion, this procedural motion? Councillor Pinder? Over to you, Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The reason I'm moving this is because, well, we've actually been in very strange times, and I think that our community deserves an opportunity to speak to this motion. Having been in lockdown, I think that these things may have come to our community somewhat unaware. And normally, I would say, normally we would have matters come before a Future Melbourne Committee meeting in order that the community can make various comment on what we're proposing. In this instance, it hasn't worked that way. The Market Charter is going to be a very, very important document going forward for the whole Queen Victoria market, the stakeholders and the community alike. So although the information that we have before us at the moment seems to be, some of my colleagues have argued that they may have seen this material before, I think given the degree of angst that's been expressed around this and given that we've been in lockdown and that we are in very strange times, it really is important that we demonstrate in the City of Melbourne, our council, that we encourage local government and democracy and wide engagement with it. So this will give an opportunity for our constituents when this reaches Future Melbourne Committee in June, it will give an opportunity for our constituents to actually present any information they have and new information that may well inform this charter. And of course, the charter will inform the design. So it's actually a very, very important document, and that is why I want to give it the attention it deserves.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Pinder?
I concur with Councillor Watts' comments, and I think it's time, given the lockdown, and there are people wishing and wanting to present new information, I fully agree that this be taken to an FMC.
Any other speakers to this motion? All right, well, I would just say that I think that just to Councillor Watts's comments, that There may have been some also confusion internally that the wording of the motion in relation to the charter suggested that it would be coming back to a council meeting, and that is why it's appeared on our agenda for council. I believe that it's going to be a procedural motion, gives it the opportunity to move to FMC. And I know that all councillors are always concerned to make sure that that members of the public have had the opportunity to participate in debates that we have here, issues that we're considering, projects that we're considering. And that's why we love FMC, because people can come to make submissions. One of the things I was concerned about with a deferral is that it extends any misunderstanding of what the issue is that we're actually considering, given that many times now this council has signed off on the fact that this area is to be transformed into a park and an open space, not just for QVM, but for the benefit of the entire Melbourne community, visitors, workers. And that context has been set for some time now. I do understand from reading some of the correspondence that there's still confusion over what those uses might be. And I'm really saying this so that we can have a really productive discussion at FMC next week, where people come with an understanding of what can actually be considered, what can what submissions would be helpful and constructive to that debate, rather than continuing to bring issues that actually have been decided on some time ago. So I'm really encouraging everybody to understand the context of the item that will come to FMC next week, so we really can have a constructive discussion. And that's assuming, of course, that this vote goes that way. And we're about to put it to the vote, because that's what I'm supposed to do, so that's good. All right, so that's me speaking to the motion. Now that I've spoken, are there other people that would like to speak to the motion, even though I thought nobody else was speaking to the motion? No? So we're going to put it... Yes, Councillor?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Based on those comments, can I just ask a question? It might be of the General Manager for Governance and whatever your full title is now. Mr Williamson, I beg your pardon. Where we make resolutions to consider matters at council, it's my understanding that if the matter can be delegated to the Future Melbourne Committee, it often is as a matter of course. Going forward, if we want it to be committed, considered at either council or FMC, do we need to specify in the resolution which it is, or should we continue the practice that I thought was in place before this time, that if you say council, it will be interpreted one way or the other based on what the delegation's policy recommends? Do we have an issue here?
Through you, Lord Mayor. The terms of reference of FMC, as you're aware, state that if a governance matter comes to FMC, it can't be dealt with, it can be dealt with at FMC, but then goes on to council. So this coming to council is the right forum for the decision. But there's nothing to stop what Councillor Watts has put forward to have it come through FMC.
And so you're saying that because this is a matter that refers in the charter to council needing to have the ultimate say, this is a governance matter, and so if it's considered at FMC next week, it would then have to be considered at council again to sign off on?
Correct.
Okay, now that is news to me as of right now. And so 30 seconds ago, and with full respect to my colleague, I was about to support a referral for 1 week, and so this will take her by surprise, and I apologise profusely. But on the basis that we're now looking at a one-month deferral, because it would need to be FMC and then council, and while 1 week would allow us to squeeze in the time, but 1 month will compromise the program of works and design for the overall Queen Victoria Market renewal package, I'm very, very reluctantly going to vote against the referral for 1 week, because it's actually in effect a deferral for a month to the next council meeting. And I apologise fully to my colleague because we were discussing earlier today an assumption that this is a 1 week deferral, not a month. And so I'm probably surprising my colleagues with that statement, but I will be voting against the procedural motion.
Yeah, I think you go ahead and ask a question, probably the same one I've got as well, so go ahead, Dale.
Thanks,
and
Lord Mayor.
I'm just hoping we have an officer that'll be able to answer it, that's all.
I'm not sure we actually have the right officer here for this question, but my question would be, what works would happen in this next month that we may see deferred as a result of waiting a month until the charter is endorsed? Are there any works that are imminent, is my question, I guess.
Jody? Okay. We do have Joe Wandell who's going to come into us via Zoom. Joe, I'm presuming Rob Adams isn't on the call, no, so on the meeting. Joe's the right person. Capital Works. So, Joe, I don't know where to look. There you are. Well done. So it's basically design work.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate that. I can't work out exactly where your voice is coming from. It seems to be coming from all around us. Just to clarify again, I think I've got this clear anyway, is the work that is going to be undertaken is the design brief work, and that if we then had any change, you may have to alter the design brief. But there is no works on Market Square itself, infrastructure works on Market Square itself intended between now and the next council meeting.
I guess, yeah. Good. Joe, I think it's more, sorry to interrupt, I think what we really want to know is there a timing imperative that impacts the project if it is pushed back a month? Because actually the point we've realised is that if it goes to FMC next week, it then has to come back to council again, and so we're just keen to understand the timing imperative around tonight vis-a-vis next month, what the implications would be. Yeah, so is there any urgency around those design works, I guess, is what we're saying?
Only to meet the requirement in the state agreement that the first phase of car parking be removed from Market Square by June 2021 to enable that work to occur, permits to be achieved, and then the delivery of those works by June 2021. Thank you.
So, okay. Lord Mayor, if I could comment quickly, which would mean that what we will need to do is just expedite the timing of those design works. So if we're delaying it by a month, we'll just have to tighten the timeframes around the design works, but I think that would be achievable.
So it changes the process in terms of timeframes that go out, but manageable. Yes. All right, any other questions? Councillor Riley?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. It is a tricky one, and I think we all understand that we want Market Square to work as quickly as possible. But 1 week or 1 month is not really going to make a lot of difference if we can just make sure that this charter is exactly what we want for the future.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Are there any other speakers or questions in relation to this motion? All right, I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. makes it unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. And item 6.2 is referred to FMC on the 2nd of June, noting that it'll have to come back to Council after that. Okay, still on QVM, item 6.3, Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Quarterly Report. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Quarterly report, I'll move it. And over to you, Councillor Rees, for seconding. In relation to QVM, obviously there are ongoing works, and thanks, Joe, for your comments earlier. We are seeing that COVID is having an impact across the city, and we know that that has had negative impacts, but we also realise that we, as everyone keeps saying, you can't waste a crisis. So whilst the market is quiet during this period, it's been good to be able to progress works in that environment, and works at Queen Victoria Market are part of that. The major works to restore the heritage market sheds began yesterday. The state government has approved the surrender and consolidation of the southern development site, which is another major milestone, and construction of the Munro community hub, starting with the slabs creating the basement for the 500 car parks for QVM, progressing well. I think four of the six have been laid already, which is terrific. And so pleased that the opportunity to advance works at the market are reflected in this quarterly report. Well done to Joe and everyone involved at the renewal project team. And thank you for the report, which I'm going to be supporting this evening. Over to you, Councillor Rees.
Nothing to add, Lord Mayor.
Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Watts.
Yes, I think it would probably benefit everybody if, because questions have been put to me, perhaps Joe could explain this again to those listening out there. I noticed that 3.4, 500 car parks for Queen Victoria Market. My understanding is that that's actually public parking as well, and that Queen Victoria Market will be working out how to, if you like, incentivise customer parking in there. Perhaps Joe might just comment on that for us by way of clarification.
Good. Just thank noting you. That the current car park is also a public car park.
Yes, yep. And that QVM will be managing the way in which...
As they do with the current car park, yes, as well. So just confirming those arrangements. That's a question for you, Joe. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers to this motion? All those in favour then, please, of this motion, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. Thanks, Joe. This brings us to item 6.4, Energy Gas Contract 0638/2206 with Procurement Australasia. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No? Then I am calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Oak?
Yeah, thanks, Lord Mayor. I'd like to move it just with an additional 9.2. I move it. Do I speak to it or I'll move it first? Susan have a conflict? Before you leave, Councillor O'Reilly, would you like to declare a conflict into a microphone?
She did.
Okay.
All right. With our indulgence, we've noted Councillor O'Reilly leaving the chamber. We've noted that we have a motion moved, as appears on the screen, which Councillor Eck will talk to as the mover. I'm looking for a seconder to this item. DLM, over to you, Councillor Eck.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Michael Tenates, General Manager of Finance and Procurement, for bringing this to Council. The purpose of the report is to give authorisation to execute and commit to energy gas supply agreements through an established panel of retailers recently tendered through Procurement Australia, and that these agreements will be offered for a period of 1, 2, or 3 years. So absolutely approve and authorise management to execute and commit to these agreements. Speaking to 9.2 is actually in reference to item 10 in our report, when it talks about the City of Melbourne will be exploring with Procurement Australia and the retailers, the view to implement and champion VEET, which is the Victoria Energy Efficiency Target. And I just wanted to make sure that in agreeing with and authorising management to execute these agreements, that we note that in our response to the Climate and Biodiversity Emergency Declaration, and actually in our draft budget and APIs, in our commitment to climate and biodiversity emergency actions that came as a result of the declarations, we committed to transitioning council operations from fossil fuels, including gas, over the next 10 years. So I add that in there as a nod, because often the VEET program that is referred to at item number 10 often provides subsidies to transition from electricity to gas, which would be contrary to our policy under our declaration. So I put it in there to highlight it and to reinforce, and encourage the finance team to work with our sustainability team in it when they do explore VEET, whether it is actually appropriate or useful in meeting our targets that we've that are part of council policy. But other than that, put the recommendation to council.
Thanks. Over to you, DLM.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Completely agree with the mover, and just note that as we set this transition, that this is really where I think battery storage technology is going to play a very strong role as it starts to disrupt gas over the coming not just 10 years, but even in the much shorter term. So very prudent that we're setting this pathway. But very happy to endorse the current supply contracts.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I've got a couple of speakers. So, Councillor Lillu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've got to admit, I didn't actually see the including gas from that one. So that's all right, but that doesn't matter. But I think in terms of the transition, look, I've learned probably a lot on this council from a lot of my fellow colleagues and also many of the people here. I think as long as it's not detriment to council and also detriment to business, as long as we keep option and also all the other things important, then I think, if there is a good transitional way, that would be great. I mean, who knows, if we're talking about clean energy, we could even look at nuclear, which is going to be a big one in the future as well, also from electrics, batteries and everything like that. So, but I think I note that, over the next 10 years, will be quite critical, because I know there will be a lot of innovations and hopefully new innovations come through, so we can look at other ways from that. But I'm happy to support this as well.
Thanks, Councillor Lalou. Councillor Francis Gilley.
Just like to thank Councillor Oak. It's a shame that we actually need to create a point that makes clear that gas is not a renewable energy, but given we have a federal government that's just included gas and clean coal as part of its commitment to getting to zero emissions, it's probably a really useful point to be made. So I'm grateful for the addition. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Francis Gilley. Councillor Watts?
I agree. Councillor Francis Gilley has made a very good point, and I thank Councillor Oak for this reminding us of the situation, which we've probably taken our eye off the ball because of COVID, but this puts it up front and centre. So I thank you.
Good. Any other speakers to the motion? No, then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? It's unanimous. We declare that carried, and we can ask Councillor Riley to come back into the room. Thank you very much. We're moving to item 6.5, which is the Council Works 2019-20 Quarter 3 Report. Would anybody like a presentation on this item? No? Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Rees, and I'm calling on a councillor to second the motion. I'll second. Go ahead, Councillor Rees, over to you.
I was just checking if another councillor might be interested, given the finance dimension to the report, but I'm very happy to move it and speak briefly to it. And look, point out that the City of Melbourne does have a record infrastructure program underway, as we should in a city which has been growing like Melbourne has. I will, I guess, note some disappointment in seeing that the budget for the third quarter of 2019-20 did, the March quarter did fall short of the budgeted value. Some 69% was delivered against the third quarter budget. I would make the observation that with numbers down significantly in the city at the moment, this is a great opportunity to crack on a few projects, as the Lord Mayor alluded to earlier regarding QVM and others. So I'm very much looking forward to the City of Melbourne Capital Project and Infrastructure team bringing things home with a wet sail in the final quarter of the financial year.
Good, and I think everybody will understand that COVID has thrown a lot of things up into the air, so constantly reviewing big programs like this is absolutely vital, and that we note that while some things will be forging ahead, there'll be others that pause. I think it's important in this forum tonight to acknowledge that the Capital Works stage of South Bank Boulevard in front of Melbourne Recital Hall and the Melbourne Theatre Company between St Kilda Road and Sturt Street, something we've been waiting for, completion for a long time, a part that we were looking forward to celebrating with lots of people, but due to COVID we're unable to at the moment. But if you do get an opportunity as part of your personal exercise at appropriate social distancing on the weekend, do go and have a look. It looks fabulous. Well done to Rob and his team and Chris Lamont and Jonathan for getting that finished, and looking forward to seeing more of the same as that project rolls out. I'm very happy to support this motion this evening and this report. Thanks to Chris for putting it together. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Lalou.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I've got to admit, when I read this, I was hoping for an administrative accounting error of $60 billion coming out as well, so that we can find that, but obviously not. But I think for us, it's quite important. Capital projects is one of the most, I never appreciated how difficult it is here at City of Melbourne until I've actually seen the many stakeholders that we have to work with, and also the kind of the timing that we actually have in terms of, you know, black swan events like COVID-19 and everything. But it's great to see that we have a mechanism to adjust for funding to capital projects, because I think that's important to ensure that, you know, we can move from, you know, certain funds return to us. We can also then also put to other areas of use as well, which is quite important because we all know it's not all black and grey. So just hats off to the capital projects team, because I think it's a difficult environment to work in. And now with COVID-19 and everything else on top of it, it will be even more difficult. But again, I note that, you know, we have revised downwards, so it's not increased upwards. And I think that's a great plus.
Great. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Oak?
Lee, you mentioned one of our favourite projects. I should also, we say this every time, you know, these reports allow us to reflect on all the amazing work that is going on despite all of what everyone said. And I note that the Lady Huntingfield Childcare Centre, which I've been observing now that we've been out of isolation, I was just looking at it yesterday as the park next door had the tape ripped off and kids were allowed to go to the playground. But it is looking quite amazing. So that's going to be very exciting. That's a treasured community asset, and I think it will continue to be so given how amazing it's going to look.
And setting new benchmarks on sustainability as well, which is exciting. All right, any other speakers to this fabulous motion that's been put up this evening? I'm going to ask everybody then, those in favour, to raise their hands if you could, please. It's unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. That means we can move on to 6.6, referred documents from the February 2020 Audit and Risk Committee meeting. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No? Then I'm looking for a councillor to move the motion, Deputy Lord Mayor, and a councillor to second. Councillor Leleu, over to you, Dale.
Nothing to add, Lord Mayor.
Councillor Leleu, any other speakers to this motion? None. Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so I declare the motion carried. I note that we're up to 6.7, Planning Stimulus and Recovery Initiatives in Response to COVID-19. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, everybody's had a good look. It's a lot of good work that's been done. I'm looking for a councillor to move the motion, Councillor Rees, and a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Leppett.
Lord Mayor, can I suggest to the mover, as I second, that the motion to be moved includes an additional two paragraphs? No, this is for planning stimulus. I raised at lunch. Happy to second. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
So you're moving the motion and you're seconding, so over to you.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Well, look, let me begin by thanking the team at the City of Melbourne for the terrific work which has gone into the Planning Stimulus and Recovery Initiatives in Response to COVID-19, and in particular to note the leadership of Alison Layton, our new General Manager, Strategy, Planning and Climate Change. Not only did she have to start a big new job at the City of Melbourne, not only did she place in a position where she was unable to meet her new staff face-to-face, physically, because of social distancing requirements, but then she was asked to land a major reform package in terms of the promotion of planning stimulus and initiatives to help the city recover. I'm very happy to commend the recommendations that are contained or can be viewed there on the screen. I think the initiatives can be broadly grouped into three themes. The first goes to land use, development and construction approvals, expediting shovel-ready projects. The second goes to approval of projects, approved projects yet to commence construction, and trying to find ways to kickstart those 3.8 million square metres of already approved and permitted projects in the city. And then thirdly, strategic planning and policy reforms to look at how we can make the planning system work better and expedite projects, but while maintaining the same important level of scrutiny to ensure design and planning excellence in what is approved. So, yes, all in all, I'm very happy to support the recommendations and look forward to the vote shortly of Council.
Thanks, Councillor Race. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. As I commence my contribution to the debate, can I just request that we have a look at the start again of the motion? I'm just wondering why we have a different number of paragraphs in this one to what I've got before me, that's all. So in the new management report that went up recently, there were 13 points, and then I've added 14 and 15. There were 15, then there were 14. There were 15 in the papers. The new management report had 14. I thought I was adding 15 and 16. I reserve my right to speak, Lord Mayor.
Okay, whilst Councillor Lippitt, Emma, do you want to just help us with this? Thanks.
Yes, Councillor Lippitt, there was one paragraph which was taken out of this report and councillors were informed of that today, and that was the one regarding the planning scheme amendments, which we're prosecuting through other channels and doesn't need to be raised as part of these measures. So there was only one paragraph extracted today.
All right, I'm still missing one, but that's okay. I still think this is an excellent motion, and I'm just going to speak to it anyway. But I'd like to associate myself with the words of the mover and sincerely thank the staff who have done a lot of very, very quick work on this issue. As my colleagues would know, this is a planning systems issue, so I could probably talk for hours, and I'm promising them I'm not going to do that. But we're in fascinating times at the moment, and systems reform in the context of crises is often when you see the most radical changes, but when you're not careful, you can often see the most unintended consequences come through the system as well. So most of the changes to the Victorian planning system aren't controlled by us by any means. They're controlled at the state level. That's where jurisdiction lies. And I wish the Building Victoria's Recovery Task Force and its subsidiary committees and the Minister for Planning and the Treasurer all best wishes as they navigate the process that they've set up to assist the state in ensuring that there's a strong pipeline of construction to keep the economy going, but also ensuring that the planning approvals processes, that the planning controls across the state are as primed as they can be to not only ensure that that construction approval processes happens quickly at a planning end, not a building end, that's not what we're looking at here, but also doesn't compromise on those other matters that we know are absolutely vitally important. Just because we're in the middle of a global coronavirus pandemic doesn't mean that the climate emergency has gone away by any means. And we need to ensure that the fast tracking of projects is done hand in hand with high levels of assurance that environmentally sustainable design in new development is going to be guaranteed. We need high quality building stock that's being built now and being built as part of fast track projects, because the better designed the buildings are now, the more efficient they are in the long term and the more affordable they are because of the operational costs in the long term as well. We often forget that there's much more to affordability than the sale price of a building. There's the operational costs of a building going forward, which have everything to do with the sustainability of a building and how it's designed, is absolutely important. So we at the City of Melbourne are full participants with the state in ensuring that we are fast-tracking whatever we can as efficiently as we can and making sure our systems are as primed as we can, but also making sure that those key commitments to ensuring high-quality design aren't compromised along the way as well. So the package of the suite of measures here that are being put to us are brilliant. There's a lot of systems reforms in there about how, as a council, we can make sure that we're being as quick as possible. And there's a lot of shared responsibility with the state and the planning minister to ensure that planning approvals, where we provide advice and the minister makes an ultimate decision, that that cooperative approach is as efficient as possible. It's improved out of sight over recent years. We remember the bad old days of 2014, which is only, 6 years ago. The efficiencies that we've driven in that space over the last 6 years are quite amazing, and I am in awe of the work that our staff have done to make efficiencies, even before you think about how we can fast-track them further in the context of a pandemic. But there are other measures here that we can take on board, and the message here is that the City of Melbourne wants a seat at the table. We are full participants in the state's agenda to ensure that the construction industry can get on with the strong economy that the building industry creates for Victoria, and we're the heart of that Victorian economy. But in participating in that environment, we're also ensuring that we're not compromising on quality, on sustainability, on design. The additions here, 8.17, I had 1.6, but so be it, is just giving effect to the rest. It's just procedural. But 8.16, it's just a little request to the state that the outcomes of last year's review into the Central City Built Form Controls be published, and if not published, at least shared with us. This is an issue that is controversial, but the proposition here is that if there is a review, the outcome should be published. I don't like to see a debate in the public realm, in the public sphere, about speculation about what the outcomes of that review were, speculation about whether or not the Central City Built Form Controls are successful or unsuccessful. If there's data out there, let's all share it. It can only lead to a healthier debate. At this time, when we're all furiously trying to work together with industry, with state, with lobbyists, with builders, and with all stakeholders in the planning system, more data can only be better. So that's the aim for 8.16. I commend the motion.
Thank you. And I'll say thank you also to Alison and to Evan for the work that's been happening, and Emma, of course, in relation to this Planning Stimulus Task Force. I'm not a member of it, so thank you. But also to Councillor East and Councillor Leppett for the work that's gone into it. I think the level of cooperation between levels of government at the moment are unprecedented, and we really do need to take advantage of that situation. I see this Planning Stimulus Task Force as being absolutely central to us working closely with the state government to find those processes, methodologies, ways forward that really bring benefit not just to our organisations, but also to both the sector, property development sector, but to the community. So to your point, Councillor Leppett, about not just quantity but quality, it's great to see that those two themes and the way that they can work together are represented in this motion. I know that you have all been vigilant in representing those interests into not just our task force but the interactions with the BVRT, and I thank you for that. We know that planning as a stimulus is going to be really important. It already is. There's reduced capacity, but where there is capacity, being able to facilitate those projects are important. But as I said, to me, this is a new level of interaction, cooperation, and I think understanding of the different roles that we play, and I encourage and support that today and more of that into the future, because it only brings benefits. So that's my speaking to support this motion. Are there any other speakers in relation to this motion? Councillor Oak, I'll start with you.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Yes, I agree with everyone in their support of our team. And also the state government teams that they've been working with. I'm constantly surprised by the level of and quality and amount of work that's coming out of this organisation, despite the fact that we're in the middle of a crisis. And, yeah, it's extraordinary. Yeah, again, coming up with really quality responses is just, anyway, mind-blowing. And thank you to everyone, my colleagues, councillor colleagues, but also obviously the team that have all been mentioned. I think it's a great list, and if we can, you know, really use this as a way to not only get the economy going, but also to accelerate the opportunity for better quality environments, that's in a social and environmental and an economic sense in our municipality, then great. You know, you'd almost reverse the list and start with share with the Victorian government our evidence-based policy work undertaken around sustainability, affordable housing and all the rest, and then, you know, work all the way up. I particularly like the 8.14 that was omitted but has been readmitted, I think, as part of that conversation at the start. But 8.14 is exactly, these are the things that we should be focusing on, finding efficiency and working with our neighbours to get things done in a better way, in a system and a planning scheme that is a bit messy and awkward and not useful at the best of times. So, but anyway, you reiterate my support for everyone, and thank you for putting together another great response in these troubled times.
Good. Councillor Francis Kelly?
I'm just to reiterate and say thank you to the team, Alice and Emma, and a big team that's really extraordinarily knowledgeable in this space and leads us really well. So thank you for your work. Thanks to my fellow councillors, particularly Councillor Leppert and Councillor Rees, for your leadership in this space. I'm very grateful. It's a new space for me, and you bring extraordinary expertise and commitment to it. I also would like to say, I think like Councillor Oak, the state government has been extraordinary in its management of COVID, and I think its commitment to regeneration out of that space is, you know, I hope and I suspect will be as clear and as strong as their management of it so far. And so I think this is really just putting in black and white the call and the clarity of the way that we could keep working together. And I lastly would like to just really support Councillor Leppert's point that we must do this in a sustainable way. Young people have suffered in terms of jobs, in terms of opportunity, in terms of their education as much as anybody in this space, and they are calling loud and clear that we actually commit to moving forward in a way that's sustainable for them and that creates a planet that they might pick up and hand on. And to that extent, whatever we do, we must do in a stronger and more sustainable way than we were prior to this event. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Francis Gilley. Councillor Watts?
This is somewhat lighthearted, but really reflects, everyone here is doing a wonderful job, and I commend them all, like my colleagues and the officers. But what I very much want to say is that constituents should be reading this, because if any of them share the kind of impatience that I feel with the processes that I've observed over many years at council now, it's just a joy for me to read systems, reform, things being expedited, shovel ready, reforms, fast tracking, reimagined planning, evidence-based policy work, streamlining, and simplifying. I just love the language, and I thank you all.
Very positive indeed. Any other speakers to this motion? No, then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. Councillors, if you approve this motion, please put your hand in the air now. It's unanimous, and congratulations. Huge bit of work. Not allowed to hug anymore, so claps in chamber. On to 6.8, Ministerial Amendments C370, Treasury Square. Councillors, would you like a presentation tonight on this item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move a motion, the motion on the screen, or... Do you need, are we going down a bit? Or?
Yeah, Lord Mayor, there's an amended, there's a motion with amended recommendations.
That one.
That's the one. Yep.
Yep. So you're moving that motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Councillor Eppert seconding. Over to you, Councillor Rees.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. Look, the purpose of this recommendation and the report that's before Council is for the endorsement by the City of Melbourne, or endorsement for the City of Melbourne's submission to the Combined Planning Scheme Amendment and Planning Permit Application for Subdivision prepared by the Minister for Planning for Treasury Square. The first point to point out here is that this is in fact a planning scheme amendment that is being led by the Planning Minister. It's not a planning scheme amendment being proposed by the City of Melbourne, as much of the correspondence that we have received in the last week or so has suggested. It's a proposal led by the Minister, which the City of Melbourne is responding to in the submission that's in attachment to of in the report. C370 covers an area known as Treasury Square. It's a 1.4 hectare site. So it is a massive bit of dirt, and it's located at a gateway location to the Hoddle grid. It's hard to think of a site and a location which is more important to the future of Melbourne than this site. It very much covers a location which, as I said, is the gateway to the southeastern corner of the Hoddle grid. It's a location which very much features in the postcard view that you see of Melbourne when those photographs down the Yarra River towards the Hoddle grid. And so it's really, really important that the City of Melbourne, that the Victorian government, that the people of Melbourne and the people of Victoria get this right. To that end, I can very much commend the report that's been produced by management here. I would note that management is broadly supportive of the planning scheme amendment to enable the future development of this strategic site, as it is broadly consistent with state and local policy. However, I think it is important to point out that there are a number of matters and additional planning controls which require further resolution, which are identified in this report. And I might briefly go to the, I guess, the most important of those. The first is that the submission recommends that there should be built form controls that apply on this site that contain building heights and typologies that do not overshadow the Yarra River, Birrung Ma, or adjacent public places, and that the built form should provide a transition from the Hoddle grid down towards Birrung Ma, which we do hope in some future point of time we see those Jolimont rail yards decked, and so that people will be able to walk from the Hoddle grid, from Spring Street, and make their way down to beautiful Birrung Ma. And so we want to see a built form topology that steps down from the Hoddle grid so that you do we do maintain that defined edge. Secondly, the submission calls for additional noise attenuation requirements to protect future users from the adjacent rail operations through the Jolimont Railway sidings. The controls discourage on-site car parking and can conversely encourage off-street bicycle parking. Next, that they achieve future site permeability and granularity through the inclusion of a hierarchy of links, including a key north-south pedestrian and cycling connection. And in this regard, I would direct people to page 5 of the submission, actually page 2 of the submission, but page 5 of the report that people can find on the council's website in regards to tonight's report. So in page 2 of our submission, there's a map that shows those graded pathways through this site, which will maintain or will create that important permeability, which allow Melburnians in future to be able to walk from the HODL grid, from the gardens, through this site, and then down through to Birrung Mar. And hopefully at some point in the future, walk across a pedestrian bridge, linking them across to the Alexandra Gardens and on from there. But without getting those links built into the system now, then that future aspiration for Melbourne will not be able to occur. Also, the submission calls for the higher standards of environmental sustainable design and the provision of affordable housing, all of which I'm sure all councillors will support. And then just turning to the amended recommendations, which are up on the screen, I want to go to 2 points. One is the need for re-exhibition and further community consultation. I believe my colleague, Councillor Leppart, is going to speak to that, so I won't say anything further. But I want to focus on the inclusion in the amended recommendation for a international design competition to be held to decide what should actually go on this site in terms of building design and built form. As I've said, that needs to occur within some built form controls, which meet the objectives I flagged earlier. But really, it's hard to think of a more important site for Melbourne than this one. As I said, this is the postcard view you will get from Melbourne when you look up the Yarra River towards the city, as we see in postcards of Melbourne, as you see behind news reporters when they're reading the nightly news to us. It's such an important location. We need to get it absolutely right in terms of design. We need to see built form and buildings on this site which absolutely say to the world that this is a city that values quality, this is a city that values world-class design, and that's something that could be achieved through an international design competition. And if you didn't do a competition like that on a site like this, then you wouldn't do it anywhere, I would say. Finally, I'd point out that I think we've recently seen quite an excellent outcome on the Bueller site in Southbank. That was a site where there was an international design competition held. We ended up seeing UN Studio emerge, a really outstanding design there. And, you know, I think all of us would hope that we'd see something of that quality emerge on this site. So this is a really big deal for Melbourne. Absolutely essential that we see that we get it right. Absolutely essential that we see something world class emerge in terms of design and architectural excellence on this site. And so with those amended recommendations on the screen, I'm very happy to support this motion. Councillor Leppart. Oh, no, I think I'll go back to you when we're here in this chamber, Lord Mayor. I apologise.
We are going to ask the seconder to speak to the motion. Do you mind just turning your microphone off?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've just noticed that in the referral to council business, we haven't picked up all of the final iterations. In 8.2, the word significantly isn't included, please. Is that okay, mover?
As discussed earlier,
yep,
that's agreed.
That we've got 6 parts in this motion. Yeah, could we delete the word significantly? And is 8.5 and 6 there as well? It is brilliant. Thank you very much. I agree with the mover. This is a really significant site. And I want to thank the officers for putting together such a comprehensive submission on the Minister's proposed planning controls in such a short period of time. It's an extraordinary amount of work in a very short amount of time on a very strategic site. There's a lot of matters to consider here, and they've put forward a submission to us and recommended to us that we put it forward to the Minister in accordance with the process that's been set up under a 20 part 5 submission. And then it gets to the Chamber, and largely due to my influence, I've politicised this somewhat further, and I apologise to them if their work is now being partly subsumed by a motion that is very strong in its language, but it is deliberately so, and let me explain why that is. But first to the submission. There are a couple of critical errors with the proposed planning controls, critical errors. We've undergone an extensive process trying to ensure design quality in the central city. We've replaced the urban design in the capital city zone policy with a consolidated overlay, which will now be DD01 once the amendment is gazetted, and the policy will be deleted. This site, therefore, the policy will be deleted when the amendment is gazetted, but DD01 isn't proposed to be added. So not only will the new design controls not be included for this site, but the old policy, which everyone admits was not delivering the outcomes that the city required, won't apply to the site either. So far from being a high-quality outcome, the planning controls for this site for design quality will effectively be absent. That is a critical error. The second critical error is on sunlight to open space. The Council's C278 amendment was only allowed to be exhibited by the Planning Minister with the exclusion of two precincts in the municipality. One was all of Docklands, two was Spring Street South, which is another word for this site and some more site abutting this site. The proposal is to put DD010 onto this site, which has a mandatory non-overshadowing clause of the Yarra River and 15 metres to the north of the north bank of the Yarra River, if I remember correctly. And that, in effect, would be the only height control on this site because it is the only sunlight control on this site. Now, Birrung Ma doesn't stop 15 metres north of the Yarra. It goes well north of that. It is a significant new municipal-sized open space, which is highly trafficked at all times of the year, but including in winter, which is when we are trying to ensure that new development facilitates sunshine to open spaces. The proposed amendment here makes no consideration of that and simply seeks to put DD010 onto this site, which takes me on to DD010. DD010 are the C270 Central City Built Form controls. These are the controls designed for the blocks in the HODL grid. These are the stock standard podium and tower controls for a part of the city bounded by rectangular blocks. It is not adequate to take those controls and plonk them on this site. Not enough care has been done to consider what the appropriate building envelope for such a strategic site should be. And the proposal is simply to extend the C270 controls to this site, to have another podium and tower on this site without any due consideration to the public open space, not only at Birrung Ma, but of course Wellington Street South and the park in between. The overshadowing on Treasury Gardens probably won't be unreasonable in any test in the scheme, but I note that submitters are also very, very concerned about that. These are glaring problems in the exhibited planning controls, and it's not enough for us to politely request that these changes be made prior to final exhibition. If these changes are made, and they must be made, they are significant enough that the planning scheme amendment needs to be re-exhibited. And I think we need to just call that out. This isn't good enough.
re-exhibit the planning scheme amendment with adequate controls. And that's what I'm trying to get at here. Unfortunately, that's not the worst thing about this process. The worst thing about this process is that the EOI process for the sale of the land preceded the planning process. We learnt in The Australian yesterday that one of the projects of the Building Victoria's Recovery Task Force and the aspirations potentially of the Cabinet is to bring forward the sale of this parcel of land at Treasury Square, and that a decision may be imminent. Now, that could be speculation in the business papers of The Australian, but on May 6th, we saw the Mervac artist's impression of the tower that's been developed for this site. This is a very advanced proposal. It is quite clear that there are advanced conversations between the state government and the shortlisted EOI parties for the sale of this site, and either a side letter has been signed saying, don't worry, the yield is going to be at least X, or the planning controls are going to be roughly the same as have been exhibited, or there's a wink and a nod somewhere, or nothing, or I'm being conspiratorial. But it's quite clear that the EOI and sale process preceding the planning process, the EOI parties and the shortlisted parties are coming along for the journey, and there's a reason they're still in this process. Other parties dropped out earlier saying, we can't express interest in purchasing this site without knowing what the yield of the site's going to be, without knowing what the built form controls of the site's going to be. We now have this process purporting to be a consultation process saying, here are the draft controls, have your say, we'll consider the final controls going forward. We're now suggesting significant changes, but this looks and feels like a fait accompli. This is the worst sort of provincial planning. This is Gold Coast stuff. You don't go through an EOI process and preempt the sale of the land before you decide what the building envelope and the preferred planning controls for the site should be. That is completely the wrong way around. We have a hard edge to the city. It is a famous edge to the city. Lindrum, Herald Sun, these are famous heritage signs on the city, and the proposed controls are plonking the central city built form controls on this site without due consideration to what that site's yield should be and a placemaking approach to one of the most significant sites in Melbourne. You can only design this and plan this and sell this once. Once you've done it, you've got the building and you've changed the cityscape for 50 years. Do it right. And so that's why I'm arguing for stronger language in the motion. And that's why I'm a little bit angry about what I'm perceiving to be an incredibly poor process, which is why I was intending on voting against the motion, but my colleagues are being very generous in letting me move towards what I hope is a bit more of a consensus position, but this is an iterative process throughout the day, and I completely respect if others don't buy into the political ambition that I'm setting out here. But this is not our amendment process. But I do think, as the City of Melbourne, we have an obligation to call out poor processes when we see them. We can only design this site once. I will close by saying one thing, and that is that there is a master plan for the Richmond to Docklands area. I don't believe that it's been signed off in final form, but it's certainly been kicking around the state government for the better part of 2 years. That has never been made public. You don't design a site like this without considering the broader strategic master plan for the area. Why isn't that process public? It should be public. And that is why I've highlighted that, I think, at 8.4 in the motion. And finally, I'll close by quoting something that Susan Oliver has put to us in a submission. Her closing line is this, and I think it sums it up perfectly. This is not planning. It is an asset disposal process that is blind to the longer-term strategic values that it compromises. Let's get it right. Let's do it properly. Re-exhibit the amendment, and let's design what can be a spectacular site, and the state government can still meet its objective of selling this land and putting the funds into its major transport project fund, which is the purpose of this entire planning process. But let's not let this process be a sham.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Riley?
Mine is just a question to Emma. At any stage through this whole process, has the ministerial amendment been given a time frame to be delivered on from the state government, or is it just out there in cyberspace when we will get the amendment through?
Councillor Riley, the amendment is out for exhibition, and once all these submissions have been taken on board, and there will be a response, I guess, from all the submissions, including those from the community here, that amendment will be implemented into the planning scheme, and there will be the built form controls and zoning controls that exist on the site. So that will then be embedded within the scheme, and that will enable development on the site.
So are we looking at a year, 2 years, 5 years?
No, once it's in the scheme, it's in the scheme in perpetuity, and so it would then facilitate the sale and development of that site, and it would be in the scheme for until it was amended again.
Thank you. Anybody else to speak to the motion? Councillor Watts?
Well, it seems that one of my colleagues has painted a very blue sky picture for us about the possibilities of this site, and another of my colleagues has pointed out the dark side, let's say, of the process that seems not to be the best one that can be adopted, and I'm grateful to them both for that. I think that as a city council, a capital city council, we have an obligation to aspire and at the same time shine a light on what seems to be a fairly unfortunate process that we're involved in. I'm hoping the strength and the credibility of the City Council and our officers and the credibility of the councillors who are very knowledgeable in this area resonates with the state government. We are having a look at all of this. We are, aren't we, collectively shining a light on this opportunity for our city. And how shameful it would be, what a great pity, if we didn't exploit this site to capitalise on its potential. And I'm very much looking forward to that. I was going to say that I don't agree with my colleagues to the extent of the international competition. Certainly let it be international. Well, let's not forget the quality architects that we have in this country, in this city. Who no doubt would be part of the mix. And I also want to make note of this extraordinary master plan that none of us have known about, this Richmond to Docklands, given that we've worked so very hard to activate Docklands and bring it to the city, to make it part of our city. I'm really, really looking forward to that, and I hope that the state government does as we request, shows us this. So the good and the bad, but at least we're shining a light on the opportunity. And that's what I think is important here.
Thanks, Councillor Watts. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And I won't go over all the ground which was ably covered by the mover and the seconder. And I just want to pick up on a couple of points. So the first is to thank officers for excellent work in the report itself. And then to thank both the Chair of Planning and the Deputy Chair for bringing out the most salient points into the recommendation itself, because I think that adds clout to the areas that that we have focused on. I just want to focus on one in particular, and that's in the Council report and also now in the recommendation, but that one that notes that any development of this site must also anticipate and provide interfaces that support the future development of adjacent sites, including Federation Square East, which will require decking of the rail corridor. And I guess why Councillor Leppert was so strident, and I did remark it's the first time I've heard him raise his voice in the chamber, and I think he's rightly done that because this is such an important site. And you could argue very well that this is actually a catalyst development where we haven't seen the potential of the rail yards because the decking has perceived to be too expensive. We know there are technologies around that will enable much more lower cost implementation of decking over those rail corridors. And when you think about that precinct all the way from Docklands right up to the MCG, you've essentially got the heart of the city that borders it, and you've also got this very great opportunity to knit together the new parts of the city, Docklands and West Melbourne, and certainly across Birrarung Mar. And if you fly that all the way down to the MCG, you've got an amazing opportunity both for open space, but for new development, for commercial development, for retail, for affordable housing. The sky is the limit. So this is a catalyst of development, because if you get it wrong, you know, the very real prospect of having levels that you can't then deck towards, because they're actually sitting below the decking level, and all sorts of horrific outcomes could be realised. So excellent work by our officers and to the Chair and Deputy Chair for their work in coming together with a recommendation that I'm absolutely in support of. I'm optimistic that we can get a good result, but that being said, I was quite surprised when I was pushing Fed Square East in particular, as I sort of went from minister to minister, to know that there was this master plan from Docklands to the MCG, and for that not to be out in the public, I thought was quite a big surprise, because it is such an important part of our city. So very happy to support this recommendation, and thank everyone for their work.
Any other speakers to the motion? I'm going to put it to the vote. Oh, would you like a right of reply?
Yeah, I think as the mover, I do get a right of reply, Lord Mayor, and I might make a couple of comments. I'll start with the easy one. Councillor Watts raised a good point about an international design competition. That would, of course, include local architects and designers, and I agree wholeheartedly. We are very blessed in Melbourne to have some of, I think, the world's best architects and designers who do great work for our city, but actually their work is so good that many other cities around the world are graced with buildings designed by local architects and designers. So, yes, of course, they would be part of that process. My point in highlighting the need for an international design competition was to sort of make the point about how high we need to aim with a site like this. The next point I wanted to address in my right of reply is a little bit more complicated. And look, I normally find myself agreeing with my learned councillor colleague, Councillor Lippitt, but I must say in this case that references to side letters and Gold Coast style development practices is not something that we have seen in Victoria in recent years, certainly not since 2014, and it's certainly not something that we're seeing going on here. The Victorian government has not sold this Treasury Square site. That is a fact, Councillor Lippitt, and speculation in the property pages of the newspaper, which is a particularly gossipy corner of the media, I should point out, is something that shouldn't be taken as gospel and cited as such in this chamber. And I think Councillor Lippitt does know that. What is going on here is a parallel process. The Victorian government are looking to put in place a subdivision and a set of built form and land use and planning controls. At the same time, they have commenced an EOI process. It would not be my expectation that the site would be sold prior to the completion of that process. But if that does come to be the what occurs, then very much the developer will have purchased that at their own risk, as does happen from time to time around the place. Now, I don't know, it would be a particularly smart thing for a developer to do, but if they were to do so, they would be doing it at their own risk. So what we're seeing here is a parallel process underway. I, for one, remain confident that it will come to a satisfactory conclusion. It will come to a conclusion which sees a set of controls which are proximate to what we have putting forward in the City of Melbourne's submission this evening. A set of controls which will provide a clear break from the HODL grid, stepping down towards Birrarung Mar, a set of controls which do provide good through block links that will deliver on that walkability and permeability so that future Melburnians can saunter down from the Hoddle grid down to the delights of Birrung Ma and the riverbank. And importantly, as a result of the amended recommendation tonight, a site that absolutely has world-class architecture and design as part of it, which very much features in the, those future postcard views of Melbourne.
Good. Everyone has spoken to quality of process and quality of outcome. We know as of this afternoon that Cbus and Mirvac are the shortlisted candidates for that site, and I'm sure there'll be opportunity to work with them, both companies that have done some great projects recently and certainly understand Melbourne very well. I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? And it's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. Thanks everyone for efforts in that big process. We can move on to noting that this actually concludes reports from management to be considered this evening in open session. There are no items of general business for consideration.
There actually is one. I've not done this before, Lord Mayor, so forgive me if I'm in the wrong place.
Okay.
During general business, I'm to submit this petition.
Okay, go ahead, Councillor Watts.
By the People's Panel members, it relates to the market charter.
Good. Petition so tabled. Councillor Leppert.
Just a question, Lord Mayor, before we go to the motion to receive it. It's incumbent on councillors under the Meeting Procedures Code to read the petition and ensure it's not objectionable or offensive in any way. I'm perfectly happy to take Councillor Watts's word that it isn't, if she's happy
my
to give that assurance.
My understanding is that you all have a copy.
I've not read it.
Ah.
No.
But as I said, I'm happy to take her word if she's happy to give us that assurance, and in that case I'd be happy to support it if she is.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm happy to second the motion to receive the petition.
Thank you. So moved, so seconded. Councillor Watts, did you want to speak to that motion?
No.
Oh, it's on the screen. There you go. No, Councillor Leppert, did you want to speak to the motion? No, then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. We are receiving the petition. Thank you very much. Unanimous. So declare that motion carried. Good. Are there any items of urgent business for consideration this evening, councillors? No, thank you very much. So that leaves us to close the open meeting. And I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion displayed. Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Councillor to second it. Councillor Riley, thank you. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? It's unanimous. So I declare that motion carried. Thank you to members of the public. Thank you for joining us this evening for this meeting in Council Chamber as part of our streaming live. We're sorry you can't be here. We're looking forward to you coming back, but thanks for participating virtually. I'm closing the open meeting at 7:03 p.m. Thank you very much.